Tuesday, 16 February, 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and also 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, if you missed us for a few days of the broadcast, you might wonder how we came from Ezekiel chapter 8 over to Revelation chapter 2. Well, we're looking at the problems that caused Israel to go into captivity, and that has brought us into the problems of the New Testament church age. We looked at some of the problems, very few, but some of the problems in the church at Corinth. And now we're looking at John's messages to the churches in Asia Minor. And we find there are seven letters here to these churches. And in these seven letters, we find five of these churches have to be rebuked because of sin that's in the church. Two of them did not have to be rebuked. The church at Sardis, it was a suffering church. And then we'll see the church at Philadelphia. They were a very obedient church. The church at Ephesus had left its first love, and that's where all the problems began. When we begin to turn our back on the Lord, our heart grows cold toward our Lord. The church at Ephesus was a suffering church. We have known so little of this in our country, yet our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are suffering today. And literally hundreds and thousands have been massacred in the last few years. Yea, in the last few days and weeks, many have lost their lives because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter writes to us not to think this strange when it'll happen. Evidently, we have been living in this country in a very abnormal condition for Christianity. Yet I believe that America is an exceptional country. God raised this country up to be a haven for his people, and it has been for many, many years until just recently, when the leadership of this country has not only turned its back on God, but turned its back against God, turned its face against God. This country is the administration of this country has turned its back on God and turned its face against God. Oh, that God might be pleased to give us a little reviving, that he, in the wrath that's to come, that he would remember mercy. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart and the hearts of all of our listeners in Jesus' name. And yes, Lord, if we are called upon to suffer, give us grace to suffer as we're instructed here to suffer as a Christian. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and beginning in verse 12 again, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, we're not to say, well, God, you've forsaken us now. We didn't mind serving you. We had all of our comforts, but now our houses and our lands are being taken away from us, and we've lost so many of our precious freedoms. Well, God said, don't think that to be strange now, as though something strange happened unto you. He said, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You know, sometimes, I know I do, I'm a very sensitive person. I'm a melancholy person, I'm very sensitive. And I don't enjoy being reproached. But my heart's desire is if I'm reproached for the right reason, for the cause of Christ, that I'll not draw back and feel like God has mistreated me and want to stop and quit and so forth. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, that's this unsaved world's part, he, that's Christ, is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now, verse 15 has some tremendous instruction for us. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. In other words, if we are doing something wrong and we suffer for that, that's not something to rejoice in. And we certainly are not to say that we're suffering for Christ if we're suffering as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. We're not suffering for Christ, then we're suffering for our own sinfulness and our own foolishness. Yet, in verse 16, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know, old Dr. Bob Sr. used to say when Paul went into town, he never asked where the best hotels were. He wanted to know what the jail conditions were. I'm paraphrasing this, because he knew that that's where he would probably end up. Somebody's well said when Paul went into a town to preach, there'd be a revival or a revolution, and sometimes I guess there would be both. But the Apostle Paul, even when he and Silas had been beaten unmercifully and unjustly and were cast into a Roman prison, in the midnight hour they were singing praises to God. God sent an earthquake and shook the old jail down. But he also shook up the jailer's heart and the jailer's family. And that night, that jailer and his family got saved by the marvelous grace of God. That's the kind of response that God wants us to have. And by the way, we don't manufacture this on our own. This is not something whereby we strut around and snap our religious suspenders and say, bless God, I'll tell you, I'll never deny Christ. Now, Peter, the very man who is being used of God to write this, and I think this is significant. Peter, the very man that God is using to write this scripture that we're looking at right now, said one time, Lord, though all men forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. And he said unto him, Peter, he said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice. You'll deny me three times. And Peter did, and he found out how weak he was. So Peter's writing now, not only from divine revelation, but he is writing from experience. And he said, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth on you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. If we have to pay a price, and many people are, I'm speaking about here in the United States of America. I mentioned on the last broadcast a coach that was having prayer with his football team, and they're talking about suspending him. And there have been teachers who have been fired simply because they had a Bible on their desk, or they sought to give a godly instruction from the precious Word of God. I'm telling you, dear friend, don't you think that God's not aware of this. He is aware of it, and he's going to deal with it. But our business is to respond in the right way. Now he said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Yes, that's where it should begin, right here in the local church. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? But I tell you, we're saved by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone. There are not many different roads to heaven, my friend. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, there's one way to heaven, and that's God's way, and that's through his Son. But coming back to this suffering now in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Not only are we to commit our souls to him as a faithful Savior, but God be praised, as unto a faithful Creator as well. Aren't you glad that our God is not only our Savior and our great Physician, but he is our Creator as well? Do you know why evolution is so popular? It's so popular because men do not want to realize and acknowledge that one day they're going to have to give an account to God as their Creator. Unsaved people are going to give an account to God. Now, we will, those of us who are saved, we're going to give an account to him as our Savior and as our Creator. But the unsaved, though they'll not face him as their Savior, they'll face him as their judge. They will also face him as their Creator. And what was man created for? He was created for the glory of God, to bring glory to God. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to the purpose of thy creation, to know thee as our Lord and Savior, and to be faithful to serve thee. And give us grace, whatever comes our way, to suffer as a Christian and to not be ashamed, but to glorify thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May our Lord be pleased to help us to bring glory and honor to Him and to serve Him. And please join us next broadcast if you can.